Thanks, Jen. Good afternoon. My name is Owen Egan. I am the chairman of the Freedom of Information Commission. This is the commission's regular meeting on July 26, 2023. The public may listen to the meeting in real time by following the instructions listed at the top of the commission's meeting agenda currently posted on the commission's website. In addition, this meeting is being recorded in its entirety. For the benefit of the public, particularly those who may be listening to the meeting by telephone, I'll take a roll call so that the record reflects who is participating today. When I say your name, please indicate that you are present. We'll start with Commissioner Barry, Commissioner Einhorn, Commissioner Fusesh.
Here.
Commissioner Goldsby.
Here.
Commissioner Hankins.
Here.
Mr. Streeter. And myself, Owen Egan, here. Similarly, when the commission conducts a vote, it will be by roll. The first item is consideration of the minutes of the commission meeting of July 12, 2023. Do I hear a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I move the adoption of the meeting minutes from July 12, 2023.
Thank you.
Seconded.
Motion has been made and seconded. I'll conduct the roll of those in favor. Commissioner Fusesci.
Yes.
Commissioner Goldsby.
Yes.
Mr. Hankins.
Yes.
And myself, Chairman Owen Egan. Yes. The next, we will consider the hearing officer's reports. I will call the docket. If you wish to address the commission on a particular docket number, please let me know when I call it and we will mark it ready. We will take up the cases in the order that they are called. So we have docket number FIC 2022-0357, Albert Farah versus Commissioner, State of Connecticut, Department of Correction et al. Are you there, Mr. Farah?
Yes.
Would you like this matter marked ready?
Yes, please.
All right, we'll mark it ready, sir. Is there anyone there from the State of Connecticut? Anyone here from the State of Connecticut? Okay. Next is docket number FIC 2022. Max Stanmeier versus Commissioner, State of Connecticut, Department of Correction et al. Are you there, Mr. Stanmeier? Mr. Stanmeier, are you there? Okay, is there anyone here from the State of Connecticut? This was a failure to prosecute. I'd entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
A second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Fusesci?
Yes.
Commissioner Goldsby?
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Next is docket number FIC 2022-0348, Louis Pepe versus Clerk, City of Hartford and City of Hartford. Is anyone here on that matter?
I'm here on behalf of Louis Pepe.
And your name is?
Jonathan Friedler.
Jonathan Friedler?
Sir.
Are you an attorney?
I am.
Thank you, Attorney Friedler.
And I'm here on behalf of the respondents, Ashley
Cullinan, C-U-L-L-I-N-A-N. C-U-L-L-I-N-A-N. Ashley, and are you an attorney as well?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, attorney. Thank you both. Okay, we'll mark that ready. Next is docket number FIC 2022-0354, Atea Sample versus Commissioner, State of Connecticut, Department of Labor et al. Is anyone here on that matter? Thank you, Attorney O'Brien. Is there anyone else here on that matter? Is it Mr. Sample there, please? Do you wish to be heard on that matter, Attorney O'Brien? Thank you. I'd entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Goldsby, seeing that there's no complainant is not here and the complaint is dismissed, I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Fusesci.
Yes.
Commissioner Goldsby.
Yes.
Mr. Hankins.
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Thank you, counsel. Next is docket number FIC 2022-0362, Jennifer Partis versus Commissioner, State of Connecticut, Department of Social Services et al. Is there anyone here on that matter?
Jennifer.
Yes, Matthew Antonetti for the Department of Social Services.
Thank you. Attorney Matthew Antonetti?
Yes.
And Ms. Partis, are you also an attorney?
Me.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm looking around.
No.
No, okay. No. Thank you very much. Next is docket number FIC 2022-0365, Evan Harzik versus Chief Police Department, City of Bridgeport et al. Is there anyone here on that matter? That matter was withdrawn. I'd entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Goldsby, seeing that the matter has been withdrawn, I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Seconded.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Fisashi?
Yes.
Commissioner Goldsby?
Yes.
Mr. Hankins?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Thank you. Next is docket number FIC 2022-0372, Anthony Lazzari versus Commissioner, State of Connecticut, Department of Consumer Protection et al. Is there anyone here on that matter?
Mr. Chairman, on that one, at the request of the complainant, the staff marked this matter off for this meeting, so it will come up at your next meeting.
Do we have to take any action?
No.
All right, we mark it off. Thank you. Last is docket number FIC 2022-0378, Brian Scott Smith versus First Selectman, Town of Plainfield et al. Is there anyone here on that matter?
Yes, Brian Scott Smith, the complainant.
Are you an attorney?
Come on. No.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. Is there anyone here from the town of Plainfield? Mr. Smith, Scott Smith, do you wish to be heard on this matter or would you like us to act on it?
I do not, sir. I am happy with the findings of the Fire Commission.
Okay. I'll ask again, is there anyone here from the town of Plainfield?
I'm sorry, I do have to have a slight amendment to the public.
Sure. Just come forward and identify yourself.
Good afternoon. Attorney Zach Hyde, I'm the hearing officer in this matter. And I do just have to correct one part of the report. In paragraph 54 on page 12, lines 2 and 3, the description of the in-camera records that are exempt from disclosure, I just need to make minor changes to those. For in-camera record 2022-0378-53, it should read entry numbers 3 through 7, 9. And then for in-camera record 2022-0378-54, that description should read entry numbers 5 through 7, 9 through 12.
Could you just repeat that with paragraph?
Yes, paragraph 54 continues on to page 12. And the lines 2 and 3, those two entries, one is for in-camera record 2022-0378-53. In the parentheses, that should read entry numbers 3 through 7, 9. And then the next entry, which is IC-2022-0378-54, that should read entry numbers 5 through 7, 9 through 12.
Mr. Chairman, I request an amendment to page 12 of the hearing officer's report as identified by
Attorney. Second?
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion on the amendment? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor of the amendment. Mr. Fisashi?
Yes.
Commissioner Goldsby?
Yes.
Mr. Hankins?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Now, I'd entertain a motion on the matter as amended.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Goldsby, I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Seconded.
Motion has been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor of the decision as amended. Commissioner Fisashi?
Yes.
Commissioner Goldsby?
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Thank you. Thank you, Attorney Hager. Hold on, did I say the last one?
Yeah.
Yes. Next is docket number FIC 2023-0064, Pat Leonetti versus Director, Department of Health and Social Services, City of Bridgeport, et al. Is there anyone here on that matter? No one here on Pat Lionel versus Director, Department of Health and Social Services, City of Bridgeport? I know. All right. I'd entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Goldsby, seeing that no one is present, I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Seconded, Commissioner Fisashi.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Fisashi?
Yes.
Commissioner Goldsby?
Yes.
Mr. Hankins?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Now, last but not least, FIC 2023-0069, Carolyn Ryan, Assistant Agency Legal Director versus Commissioner, State of Connecticut, Department of Children and Families, et al. Is there anyone here on that matter?
Yes.
Who's here for Carolyn Ryan?
Attorney Carolyn Ryan. I'm
the... You're Attorney Carolyn Ryan? You'd like this marked ready? Thank you.
I have a quick question on the cap. Should the caption be changed here or only in the hearing officer's report where it's footnote change?
I think we're going to change it going forward once you adopt this. So when it comes out, we'll modify the final decision.
Got it.
And for the state of Connecticut?
With Attorney Charlotte Shea, representing
Charlotte Shane?
Shea, S-H-E-A.
Thank you. Thank you, Attorney Shea. And thank you, Attorney Ryan. All right, so we'll mark that matter ready. All right. Before we consider these cases, I will ask the Executive Director, Colleen Murphy, to please make the usual announcements.
Sure. As has been indicated, this entire proceeding is being recorded. You do not need to ask for any part of it to be recorded, and it will be available on our website soon after this meeting. If anyone has issues getting access to that, please contact us and we'll sort it out. And second, pursuant to our regulations, oral argument is 10 minutes per side for the parties, and I'll keep track of that.
Okay. So our first matter is docket number FIC 2022-0357, Albert Farah versus Commissioner, State of Connecticut, Department of Correction, et al. So are you there, Mr. Farah?
Yes.
Yeah. And who's here for the State of Connecticut? Mr. Farah, would you like to begin?
Actually, I received the proposal final decision, and I can understand now why my case was dismissed, so I got nothing else to say. If I have received a request for a schedule to be present in this hearing, I will not be here. So I ain't got nothing to say. I can understand why the FOI, Department of FOI, has dismissed my case.
Sir, I missed what you said. If you had heard before, in other words, if you had received notice of this decision in writing, you would not have come forward?
That's correct.
But your next statement is that you don't know why they've dismissed your case.
Actually, I know I understand why now, because it says in there, because there's a certain discredit on the issue is not a public record with the meaning. Consequently, the respondent did not validate the FOI Act by failing to comply with the complaining request because those papers were mine. It was not the personal property of the complaining, not related to the conduct of public business.
Okay, so you're satisfied with that decision?
That's right.
You understand it. All right, well, thank you very much. I appreciate your participation today. With that, I'd entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Goldsby, seeing that the complainant has no objection to the hearing officer report, I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Is there a second? Is there a second?
Yes, sorry.
Okay, Commissioner Fuzeci is seconding this, correct?
Yes, correct.
All right. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Fuzeci?
Yes.
Commissioner Goldsby?
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Thank you, Mr. Farah. Thank you for your statement today.
Thank you very much.
And have a great day.
Yeah, you too.
Okay. Next is docket number FIC 2022-0348, Louis Pepe versus Clerk, City of Hartford and City of Hartford. The council, please identify themselves for the record.
Attorney Ashley Cullinan on behalf of the respondents.
Thank you.
Attorney Jonathan Friedler on behalf of the complainant.
Thank you. So, would Attorney Cullinan like to meet?
Sure, Mr. Chairman.
You can remain seated. Thank you for standing. I appreciate it, but you can remain seated.
Thank you. So the respondents have no issue with the hearing officer's decision, so we do not contest it, and we ask for the adoption of it.
I'll save some time as well. We are also supportive of the decision. We appreciate the time everyone spent on it. I do have one question. I think there were a couple of items where it was indicated that we've either already received them. I've looked through. I'm not 100% sure that's the case, but it doesn't seem that there's a challenge in those circumstances. If I don't have them, I can just call and facilitate the transfer.
Yes, I've already flagged them, and they'll be included in the production anyways.
Fantastic.
All right.
That's all we got.
Easy. It's great when everybody agrees.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
One second. I'll entertain a motion.
Yes. Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Goldby, I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Fuzeci, a second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Fuzeci?
Yes.
Commissioner Goldsby?
Yes.
Mr. Hankins?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Thank you both very much.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate your help. Next is docket number FIC 2022-0362, Jennifer Pardes versus Commissioner, State of Connecticut Department of Social Services. Will the parties identify themselves for the record, starting with you, ma'am? Thank you.
Good afternoon, Matthew Antonetti, Legal Director for the Department of Social Services.
Thank you. Would you like to begin with the council?
Sure. First, the agency and I, you know, personally want to commend the hearing officer's draft decision for all but, you know, a clause or two. I think it's a very well-written and thoughtful decision, so would note that. The one issue that the department does have, however, is with respect to a couple of clauses with the fourth part of the order on page 13 that would require if the Department of Social Services was not...
Hang on a second. You said page 13?
So it's on page 13 of the proposed decision. And there are just a couple of clauses there. So it's concerning a medical report that on... Sorry to jump around.
So I'm on page 13.
Yeah.
What number of paragraph?
Paragraph 4... And if we're on the fourth line down, it's the clause that begins, And if the respondents cannot locate such records in their own files, the respondents shall retrieve a copy of such records from Dr. Sewich or his office. And then two and a half lines further, the clause, or if Dr. Sewich or his office fails to provide such records to the respondents. What the proposed decision would ask the agency to do is do a secondary search through the human resources and medical files or similar files for Ms. Pardis, which the agency has no problem in doing. And from a second layer, we'll have to coordinate that with the Department of Administrative Services, because technically now human resources is not part of the Department of Social Services, but we've had no problem doing that, and we will do so. It's the second part that would potentially require the agency to do affirmative outreach to a third party entity, not, you know, subject to the Freedom of Information Act, not in any contractual relationship with the agency.
And is that the doctor?
Yes, who I believe was a psychologist, to reach out for a fitness for duty report that I believe, at least there's a reference in a prior email from 2014, was carried out in 2014. The agency respectfully thinks that, you know, on a couple levels, that's a little bit going beyond the requirements under the Freedom of Information Act to go to not a state entity, not any entity that the agency has any control or authorization to demand the medical record from, you know, even if it were. I think there could be issues under the Freedom of Information Act as whether that would be an authorized order. But, you know, taking the fact that it's a medical provider, not a state entity, we have no control over the agency. And Ms. Pardis indicated that, you know, this report was part of a fitness for to return to work back in 2014. So certainly under human resources and the ADA, a fitness for duty or to return to duty report was sought, and that was appropriate. But the agency at this point doesn't have independent power over Dr. Sewich to turn that over or seek that record. We did a quick note, or just note that looking through the Department of Public Health's licensure files, which is public online, it looks like Dr. Sewich retired his inactive license. You know, respectfully, if Ms. Pardis would seek a copy of that report, she indicated in her response that at the time, back in 2014 or thereabouts, she had asked Dr. Sewich for this report, and he indicated you have to go through DSS to get it. You know, were she to go to whatever office Dr. Sewich may have been a part of and ask, make that request again, we would happy, if there was a response, well, the state needs to authorize that, we of course would authorize that. We would have done that, I think, at the time. I wasn't with the agency at the time. But, you know, respectfully, I think those, we've bolded the clauses that we found problematic and on page one of our brief, and those were the ones that I just read to you. We would just ask that that clause, that the agency would then have to make affirmative steps to retrieve the report from this entity, be removed from the final decision when issued. Mm-hmm.
Ms. Barnes?
Yes, so I tried to obtain those records in 2014 from Dr. Sewich and was told that I had no authority to do so, that because the state had ordered the test, that I had to go through the Department of Social Services. Then in 2014, I was having a lot of medical issues, and I was traumatized, and I didn't pursue it at that time. 3 years later, in 2017, and I sent an email. It sent your brief on Friday at like close of business last Friday, so I responded by email. I do have copies of that. You know, I didn't know how to respond after the close of business last Friday by the 21st, so I wrote an email, and I have 14 copies here if you need it for the record. But
have that. We do.
You do have it.
Have that,
okay.
Yes.
All right. Excellent. So in 2017, I had the courage to, you know, revisit this, and I did try Dr. Sewich's office again, and I couldn't get the records. And I went to HR, and HR would not provide me with the records in 2017. Said, "Oh, there are no records," and that was only 3 years after I had put up, been put on admin leave and put on a fitness for duty. And I tried this past year, I tried again. I called, the office still exists. He may not be working at that office, I don't know where he is, but that office still exists, and I was not successful in getting any records from the office. So I'm just saying that that office still exists. You know, records are, I think in 2014, a lot of things were in electronic format. I cannot get them, they won't give them to me. That, I disagree with what the respondent said that that was a fitness for duty, it was an appropriate action that was, I feel I was, at that time I was retaliated against for being a whistleblower and put on admin leave for 2 months when it was supposed to be 15 days and lost, I had been offered a job with another agency in that 2 month period and DSS refused to provide DEMAS with the information to move my hiring forward. So I lost that job opportunity. And then I had to move out of the job I was doing it when I returned from fitness for duty, after the fitness for duty test was performed. I don't have the results, but obviously I was fit for duty because I was sent back to DSS and I had to leave the division I was in and I had to go to a new division. So it impacted my life tremendously. And I can't, and that's a very important test. And I cannot get the results and I cannot believe that, I just can't believe that those records don't exist first at DSS or nobody can find them. And since that office, that doctor office still exists and I can't get them, I would like to see the results of that test and what that doctor said. Because obviously I went back to work and when I went back to work, my life had changed dramatically. So, you know, it's a very important document for me.
Thank you.
Who employed Dr. Savage? Did you hire Dr. Savage?
No.
Did the Department of Social Services? I'm trying to figure out who has a...
Yeah, no.
And then
this is
a separate issue, who has a medical...
This is a private practitioner. Again, I'm not sure what... I'm not a labor lawyer, but looking through the labor regulations, it's, to my indication, it looked like, or it seems like the employees are responsible for coverage for any such medical examination. So I don't know if it went through your insurance or...
I'm not
going to allow a discussion back and forth through the chair. So Attorney Fuzeshi is asking counsel, the question. You don't know the answer.
I don't know if the state compensated Dr. Sewage for the report.
I have correspondence that says that the state did compensate him. I have additional correspondence.
Ms. Pardis, did you hire Dr. Savage?
No.
Okay. So the state hired him.
Yes, and I have correspondence from this FOI process that, so you have that correspondence as well, that shows HR's talking about paying Dr. Sawicha out of the state accounts. That was totally had nothing to do with it. I didn't want it.
Can I just ask one further question on this? If the patient says you can release that letter, it sounds like it's possible that you have, the Department of Social Services has the hiring relationship with the doctor. So
again,
agreed that those records should be released. It sounds to me that you would be the one that would be able to contact.
Attorney Martin Allen.
A couple of things. One, you know, I haven't.
I don't know if that's
every...
correct or misrecollections and all that.
So with that asterisk, obviously, if Ms. Pardis gave the agency authority to outreach consent to do that outreach, then yes, the agency would have the ability to do that outreach. But there are a couple of points to that. One, we, you know, we don't know if this individual is still in practice. I do question the authority of the Freedom of Information Act to require an agency to do affirmative outreach to a third party, not a state entity. You know, we've discussed obviously internally and with, you know, other legal support, and there's question as to whether there is that authority to go that kind of step beyond. But secondly, if, you know, I can say right now that if Ms. Pardis receives some indication from this medical office that there needs to be authority from the state of Connecticut to produce any such report to her, I would certainly work with, and again, it's not a DSS record. It is, these human resources is now with the Department of Administrative Services, which is a second layer, work with the Department of Administrative Services to permit access to that report. And respectfully, I think that the agency is perfectly amenable to all other provisions of the draft decision. Were it not for this clause for affirmative outreach, we will search our records again. It appears back in 2017. Ms. Pardis did make a request for that record. It was not located at that time. If we're not in possession of the record, if DAS Human Resources is not in possession, then we do not have a record under the Freedom of Information Act for that record in the agency, DSS, or DAS's possession. But again, we are happy if Ms. Pardis would want to go out to that office and again make another request. I can give you my card. I haven't met you personally. I would be happy to work with DAS to provide that authorization if it's necessary. But I do think that that's potentially beyond the scope of authority for the agency to actually have to make that outreach.
I'd like to hear from the hearing officer, Attorney Smith.
Good afternoon, Mary Kate Smith. For the record, I was the hearing officer in this case. I believe that the order at issue is perfectly appropriate under the facts and circumstances of this case. Under Londrigan versus Freedom of Information Commission, the court held that a public agency may be required to request records from that are in possession of one of its agents. And I determined that in this case, that's what we have here. The complainant is an employee of DSS in 2014. She was placed on administrative leave. She was required by the agency to undergo a fitness for duty evaluation by this particular doctor. And she did that. And she requested a copy of that evaluation from the doctor. And the doctor said that she had to request the record from DSS. And the evidence in the record was, there was very little evidence of whether or not DSS still possesses this record, whether they properly search for records, including this record, which was based on the evidence in the record faxed to DSS. So they had received it. But it is a public record of DSS under 1-200 subsection 5 of the FOI Act, where, because it was owned by them, used by them, received by them. They also are entitled to a copy of the record. And so under Londrigan and also in other cases, the commission has ordered respondents to go to their agencies to request records and then disclose them. So that's why I made the recommendation, particularly based on the facts and circumstances of this case. The evidence, at least at the hearing, was that DSS hired this particular mental health care provider, and the complainant was required to go to this doctor. I also don't think that the order is too onerous because it just requires DSS to make a request to, if, first of all, after they search their records, if they don't locate it, just make a request to the medical or mental health care provider or his office. And if they don't have the record, they can just put that in an affidavit and submit that to the complainant and to the commission. So that's why I included that in the order, and I think it's perfectly appropriate under the law.
If the mental health care provider refuses to send it to the state, then that's sufficient. They can stop there.
Right. You just put it in the affidavit.
Ma'am, just speak. Just
identify yourself.
Matthew Antonetti for the Department of Social Services. Just with respect to that, again, respectfully, the proposed decision, I don't believe makes any findings that this practitioner was an agent. If it is the commission's determination and decision that under Lonergan that this provider is an agent of the Department of Social Services, and under that authority, that the commission is going to order the agency to seek the record, you know, I think that the decision, respectfully, again, should be, because that's not indicated in the decision. It's just go to the doctor's office. Whether it would be, you know, a challenge to make that additional step, it is a slope. I mean, there are concerns kind of statewide as to, you know, requests or decisions of the commission to seek, you know, documents from what would reflect here just a third party medical practitioner. If the commission is going to find that facts indicate on the record that this individual is an agent of the Department of Social Services in the state of Connecticut, probably also, you know, identifying that there perhaps should be some indication that, you know, recognizing that human resources records are now within the Department of Administrative Services, and that, you know, coordination through DAS and not DSS. There are various layers here, but I think that if that's going to be the finding of the commission, that that should probably, and the justification for the ruling to go to this third party, that that should probably be indicated in any revised proposed decision for review. Currently, that's not a finding in the decision, so.
I have one question for the hearing officer. I thought, when you read, I don't have section 205 in front of me, but you said owned or used. So is there any question that, factual question that the department used this letter?
The only indication that I'm aware of, and again, coming from this decision, that this record was received, and there may be others, I haven't looked through all the production to Ms. Pardis, is the citation in an email back in September of 2014 that the evaluation was faxed on Thursday, September 4th. So, in 2014. So, yes, if we had the record, we would produce the record. You know, if we found the record, the record would be produced. We wouldn't be having this conversation. The issue is, from my understanding, that there has been a search of the human resources, medical, other related files, and it was not found. Ms. Pardis indicates that she requested this back in 2017, and it was not found in her group, and it wasn't found at that time. If the agency is not in the possession of the record, then we get to, so if we had it, no question, we produce it. The agency isn't finding the record. We will look again under the decision, but again, it's only that then agency, you must do the affirmative outreach that we don't think is supported by the proposed decision.
I think she said she asked for it in 2014. Is that correct, Ms. Pardis?
And 2014 and 2017.
She asked for it when it was produced by the doctor immediately, and then she asked for it again in 2017, and it was a record about her. And she wasn't given the record by the state of Connecticut.
Again, I don't know if that's
not your issue. Yeah. I understand. Ms. Goles, Attorney Goles.
Yeah, I'll allow the complainant to respond to that, and then I'll ask my question.
Ms. Pardis.
You asked the defendant if the evaluation was used, and defendant is saying that there is one email saying that a fax was received with the evaluation, but if the respondent looks at the FOI emails that I now have in my possession, there are several emails that show that those records were used after fax, used to move. Used and the recommendation from that or something to the fact the recommendation was that I should be moved away from in my opinion, the people that I was being bullied by, you know. So there was, but I don't know the exact words of the emails, but there's several emails in those FOI documents that you've given me that you have that speak to those evaluations being used to remove me from a division, put me to a new boss, and things like that. And So yeah, there's more than just one email.
Thank you.
Commissioner Goldsby.
Commissioner Goldsby.
To Attorney Smith, to counsel's point about the reference in the hearing officer's report, would you be opposed to mentioning some sort of authority regarding the agency? I wasn't clear if that came up at all during the hearing itself. Could you comment on that?
Sure. I did not address agency per se in the hearing officer's report. That's correct. I did find that she was required to go to this particular, it was the mental health provider chosen by DSS. And I think somewhere I did put hired. I didn't use the word agent, but I think under 1-200 subsection 5, this clearly was a record of DSS. Because that says means of any recorded data or information relating to the conduct of the public's business prepared, owned, used, received, or retained by a public agency or to which a public agency is entitled to receive a copy by law. And I think in this case, it was used. We know that she was rehired, or I should say she was allowed to return to work after that evaluation. And they received it. There's evidence that they received the report. There's also evidence, you know, in the, that they are entitled to receive a copy. In fact, they received a copy. So I think if you would like, I could revise the report. This case has been pending for some time because there were various procedural things that happened along the way. So we don't have a lot of time, but I could amend the report if you'd like. It's a recommendation to your, you know, I made the recommendation, but I think there are some findings in the report itself that support that the mental health provider at issue was an agent within respect to this issue. I mean, it wasn't.
May I comment again?
One second.
I was just going to supplement what Attorney Smith said in terms of the agency. I'm thinking from what you have in the record, you might be able to find that, but I don't know that you necessarily need to do that based upon that definition that has been read back to you. And you know, I think the gist of it is more that DSS through DAS, potentially just serving that human resource function, would be entitled to a copy of this record since it was prepared at the behest of DSS.
Yeah, Commissioner Goldsby, I think I would agree with that based on the explanation. I, you know, understand Attorney Antonetti's point, but I don't think it's a far stretch, just in my personal opinion, to just ask the doctor for it. You guys had it at some point. I mean, I don't know what, you know, if it's a retention issue, if you just, you know, wrong search terms or what have you, but it exists. So I think you guys have the responsibility to provide it to her if it's within the scope of records, which it seems it is. So that's my take.
May I comment? Just some concerns that I have about the whereabouts of the records as well. I just want to share some things that have crossed my mind. Because if you look at the date that the evaluation was faxed to the agency, the date places that admin leave that I was out on for close to 2 months. And legally, they were only supposed to, I was only supposed to be put out on admin leave for up to 15 days. I didn't know that at the time. So that evaluation speaks to the fact, one, that DSS was not abiding by admin leave state laws. And as well, because that admin leave that places the date of, you know, about 2 months there. During that 2 months, I have the correspondence from the FOI request that shows that I lost a job promotion in another agency, because I was out on a fitness for duty evaluation, and somebody, well, I have I know who it is now because I have the communication, refused to provide DEMAS with the documents they needed to move my promotion, my hiring forward. So I have wondered whether those evaluation was intentionally destroyed
by DSS so as to not have a record around showing all of the bad things that they did.
Thank you. Does anyone else have any comments, questions?
I'm good. Thank you.
Mr. Hankins, any questions?
I mean, it just seems like this is kind of a pivotal document here. We spent the last 30 minutes or so talking about it. And I think that the complainant has a right to it, and that the person, the entity most probable to get it is the respondent. So I think it would move them to get that. And however the order should reflect that it's their responsibility, I think it should do that.
Thank you. Anything further?
Mr. Chairman,
yes.
Am I allowed to share other concerns on other,
We're just about ready to vote on it. There's a motion to adopt the hearing officer's report, so.
I just said, I had read that I could prepare a 10-minute summary of, issues, concerns I had. We've been talking about a concern that the respondent has, but I had a couple other bullet points that I just wanted to mention for the record.
Jim Murphy.
Regarding the
as always, at your discretion, Mr. Chairman, but the parties are afforded the 10 minutes. I don't know that we went through the 10 minutes, but.
No. I thought you had presented your argument.
Yeah.
That's why we were. We turned to you and asked you which.
In response to the respondents,
I
wasn't even going to go there. I had prepared something else prior to them bringing that up. I don't know.
No, I understand. It's sometimes as a lay person, it's confusing. But that was your opportunity to put on the record, not only to respond to what your opponent said, but to put on whatever you wanted to put on.
Did I miss that opportunity?
You did, but we're going to try and address that. Do you wish to withdraw your motion?
Yeah, I'm sorry, John.
Okay, all right. So, Ms. Pardis, is there anything else you'd like to say?
Yes, just that.
But bear in mind that there was a motion to adopt the hearing officer's report, so it's likely that you were going to win and counsel was going to lose. So just bear that in mind. So when you're going forward with whatever you want to say, you're here to try and win, and I think you're going to win, but go ahead. I'm not trying to stop you from your opportunity to speak, but go ahead.
We do have your written statement, correct?
Yes.
I didn't mean to stifle you.
Sorry. Sharing some thoughts. I just kind of prepared some summary thoughts about some things that were said in the hearing officer's report. One on page 6, there was the report shows that there was no conflict of interest under credibility. On page 6 of the hearing officer's report, no conflict of interest under the credibility paragraph. And I just had concerns that I have CHRO complaints that are still pending right now, and from the affidavits that have been received through the CHRO process and the oral testimony that I've had to listen to, I personally have overwhelming evidence that shows that that certain parties for the respondent have lied and perjured themselves. So the fact that the same staff attorneys have been looking for documentation for me through this FOI process are the same attorneys who are defending the respondent in the CHRO process. I have trouble believing that there's no. I don't know. I'm not sure how there was determined no conflict of interest while there
you know, that because the staff attorneys have the ultimate decision of what correspondence to give me. And yet they're representing the respondent on my CFO complaints. So I just had a concern about that finding that there was no conflict of interest. Just wanted to share that thought. I also, there it was in the hearing officer's report, it said that electronic search was thorough. However, I still truly believe that I have not received all electronic communications that I had asked for. There's a suspicious, a lack of correspondence between management discussing a lot of the CHRO complaint issues that I have pending right now. And I do not feel easy thinking that they have, given me everything honestly that is there. And therefore I have put in some additional requests. There are so many issues at stake with no correspondence received. The respondents did repeated denials of my ADA accommodation requests, repeated denials of a state union agreement that deals with COVID fragile individuals such as myself. There's no correspondence about the threat to fire me if I didn't report to the office, physically report to the office, even though I'm covered under ADA or I should be covered under ADA in the state union signed agreement. There's no correspondence about the fight with the union's help to help me fight the threat of being fired. There's no correspondence that the union assisting in fighting me about the repeated denials of accommodation. There's no correspondence with the agency's fabrication of a medical diagnosis that contradicts my own medical provider's medical paperwork. No correspondence of DSS management stripping me of my duties. No correspondence about management placing coworkers in place to secretly train on my work to figure out what I was doing while they were stripping me of my duties. No correspondence about management formally assigning me to lower level duties that I carried out over a decade ago. And no correspondence of management's promotion of an unqualified coworker to replace me in my expert duties. So I find it really hard to believe that there's no correspondence on all of those topics in, you know, that I would like to use for my CHRO complaints. So I just wanted to share that concern that I don't believe that I got all the electronic correspondence that I'm seeking yet. Thank you.
Great. Anything further, Counselor? Yeah. Anything you'd like to
say? If you'd like me to.
Smith? No.
Okay.
Commissioners, any questions? All right, I entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Goldsby, adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner, second.
Motion's been made and seconded by Commissioner Fizeci. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Fizeci?
Yes.
Commissioner Goldsby?
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins?
Yes.
And myself, all meeting, yes. Passes unanimously. Thank you. We both appreciate your arguments today. Calling docket number FIC 2023-0069, Carolyn Ryan, Assistant Agency Legal Director versus Commissioner, State of Connecticut, Department of Children and Families, et al. For the parties, please identify themselves for the record.
Attorney Carolyn Ryan, complainant.
Attorney Charlotte Shea for the respondent.
Who's most appropriate here?
just jump in, okay? So that's make reference to my brief, which I provided 15 copies of in advance of today's hearing. So in reference to the proposed final decision, I'm asking the commission to reevaluate and reconsider. My complaints were effectively dismissed. What I was asking for was all 2022 Caroline reports redacted for identifying information that makes reference to the high-risk newborn being checked, and then also how many of those were substantiated, of those accepted, how many were substantiated in 45 days. And I'll actually start with the second prong, which is the second question, the of the high-risk newborns, how many were substantiated. The proposed order makes reference to whether or not it's a question or a records request, but I would kind of say that I think my words might be being minced, and that it is a question asking for data. The records, by all account, are records requests, but with a question mark at the end. And I am asking the question is not what is your policy or what is your usual course, but it's very much a data focused question, how many? So it's about numbers, and I am asking the DCF take the steps necessary to produce those numbers, even though it might not be something that is just necessarily a line item, but that they would have to individually go through the cases and determine whether or not 45 days after, whether or not a determination of neglect was made. But, you know, probably the proposed final order. What a lot of our hearing focused on was my first request, which was the Caroline reports, redacted for identifying information. And, I come to you really kind of woman without a remedy, because DCF, when it comes to these Caroline reports, there's elements that they have good data on, and then there's elements that they have bad data on. So one thing that they have good data on is the mother that's being investigated for a newborn report. What's her race? We have good data on that because there's a box that checks it off. So I know that minority women are disproportionately represented. But then other things like, well, why? Like marijuana use, there's no box for it. And they tell me, we don't keep that. And it's not something that we readily record or have for you. Okay, so then a follow-up Freedom of Information request. Okay, give it to me unredacted and I'll go through them and I'll determine which ones are for marijuana. Oh, it's a child protection activity. You can't have that. So what this report doesn't address, which my complaint does, my brief, is two elements that I think are missing from the hearing officer's report, which is that I brought up the fact that I'm asking for this information to be redacted. And the second, the public interest element is also silent on it. And I would go even further beyond the public interest, which is about a violation of the public's trust, which is something that the commission could consider. And what I'm really alleging of the agency is that we have legislation that folks went to great lengths to enact in a public kind of forum. The legislation I'm referring to is the statute that I'm referring to is 21-422A, which more or less gives 21A-422A, which requires the use of cannabis, cannot be the sole determinant in a child protection activity, including for a newborn infant and pregnant woman. So the statute and DCF's Caroline procedure for high-risk newborn they can't coexist harmoniously. And it'll be 2 years this summer, and they haven't made a change to the regulation. And, at the Capitol, this is something that's being publicly legislated, it's lacked of enactment, and it lacked, and the violation of the public trust is something that's being done secretively. And I'm trying to kind of get this out in the open. And I go even beyond the violation of public trust, that I actually think this is something that's hurting people, especially Black women who are trying to get care at hospitals. So I think I'll leave on that note that the hearing officer report doesn't, I'm a woman without a remedy, the hearing officer report doesn't adequately address those two elements that I am asking for this to be redacted, and the public interest violation of this trust that comes with the way the agency is conducting, or their lack of enforcement of a state statute. I think that's it.
Thank you.
The respondent is in agreement with the hearing officer's decision as written, and we would support adoption of the decision. You know, believe that the reports that are requested are protected under state law and have been determined to be confidential and privileged and not subject to disclosure under FOI.
Thank you. Attorney Hahn.
Alicia Harmon, I was the hearing officer in this case. I don't think there's any question with regard to, so there's two parts to this request. There were three, but 2C is not an issue. 2B is a question. I think it was conceded by the complainant at the hearing that it was a question, not a records request. And we don't have the authority to make DCF answer a question. So, you know, how many were substantiated for abuse or neglect seems to me clearly to be a question. With regard to the Caroline reports themselves, you know, this isn't the first time someone has asked for Caroline reports, and I think that, that this commission has determined in 2017 Caroline reports are exempt from disclosure under the FOI Act. That's in paragraph 16. I understand that the complainant really wants these reports. I understand that she's saying they can be redacted and that there's a public interest. But the statutes that control details, allegations of child abuse and neglect, or records that are prepared in connection with DCF's child protection activities are pretty much ironclad. They cannot be disclosed. So, you know, it's not that I don't want to order disclosure. It's that based on the law, I cannot order disclosure of these records to the complainant.
Do any of the commissioners have any questions?
I just have one question just for clarification from you. I'm looking at point four of your report, and the penultimate sentence there says the respondents answered the complainant's substantiated cases inquiry, providing relevant statistical data. And I'm trying to understand what that is versus this 2B request. Were there some data delivered about that?
There was some data delivered to the complainant. I don't know that it distinguished between what the details were in the initial conversation with the Caroline operator, but I know they did disclose some information to the complainant.
Correct. We had denied. Attorney Charlotte Shea, the respondent. We had forwarded the request, the question to our data department. We had denied it as an FOI request, but said if there is any information that our data division had, we would be able to forward that. So we forwarded the information that our data division, our QI division has regarding substantiations and the basis. So there was some, and I don't have that right in front of me at the moment, but there was a response provided regarding the time for, I don't know if it was the time frame for the substantial, yeah.
It was
the number of.
The reason I'm asking about this, that seems to me like an informative and interesting statistic, mm-hmm. and non-comment. Why does that help you?
Identify yourself for the record.
Attorney Carolyn Ryan, complainant.
Right.
And I do recall, and I also don't have it in front of me, but I do remember what the data response was. So the high-risk newborn box, I'm interested in everything that got accepted. And the data they provide me is, okay, well, of this box, a certain percent, like something very low, like 10%, is they're directed, of these accepted ones, a small percentage is directed towards, it's almost like a differential response. And now of this small portion of this differential response, I have the data I want. What am I going to do with the 10%? You know, I need the whole picture of all the incoming newborn, not the 10. So they gave me the information I want on about 10, I think it was around 10% of the incoming newborn reports, which are just happen to be those ones are diverted for a different type of investigation. But, you know, one of the things that I'm looking for is I just kind of know that the substantiation rate after 45 days, just because of how they're doing the intake, must just be incredibly low. So that's the data that I'm looking for, so I can go around to legislatures and say, see, you know, there's almost none of these cases are being substantiated anyway. So they're showing they're showing only the ones that are diverted to a differential response, not the big picture. It's useless data to me.
And if I may, this is Attorney Harmon. Yeah. If they hadn't provided the complainant with the differential response, and that's the response she wanted, and they were saying you can't have it, I don't believe under the law we could order it disclosed. That's my point.
I get your point, and I'm trying to deal with, you know, and I agree with you. But I was also struggling with what kind of data could help on your substantive question, and I thought there was some data there that I read it that you're saying somewhat helpful, but not too helpful. And I'm trying to
Attorney Charlotte Schaefer, the respondent, that is information we did not have, which is why we denied it as FOI. We don't just maintain that. So, but we said, you know, we can try to go out and look, you know, take it out of FOI, and we can go and see if we can research that for you. We're not going, you know, it's not something we just maintain and can either decide to give you or not give you. But if we can try to obtain it for you, we can do that. And that is why we tried to answer the question.
Thank you. Any further questions by the commissioners?
Mr. Air Hankins. There, light.
Mr. Hankins.
No, thank you.
No questions. I entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Goldsby, I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
I second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Fuzeshi?
Yes.
Commissioner Goldsby?
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins?
Commissioner Hankins, second.
No, we're taking a roll call of those in favor.
Yes.
You're in favor. Thank you. And then myself.
Yes, thank you.
That's all right. And myself, Owen Egan. Yes. Passes unanimously. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Oh, you're okay. Thank you. All right, take care. All right.
Okay, so moving on to items 3 through 7. These are all cases that I'm asking you to uphold my decision to deny leave to schedule hearings in these cases. And I sent you the memo the other day, just a little synopsis of each of them. All of them are based on jurisdiction grounds. So I'll just, for the record, state what they are and give you a tiny summary of them. But items 3 and 4 are the same complainant, and it is Charles Sotero versus City Council, City of Danbury, docket number 2020-0201, and the other one is the same parties, docket number FIC 2020-0447. So those cases were filed during the pandemic times, and the complaints concern enforcement of the governor's executive orders around meetings. And as the memo indicates, we've concluded that we don't have the authority to enforce those executive orders, and they're also, they've all expired at this point. So that's the basis for the lack of jurisdiction on those two. And then the next two are by the same complainant, different respondents, but the next two are Scott Connors versus Administrator, State of Connecticut Judicial Branch, Adult Probation Services, and et al. Docket number FIC 2023-0070. And then the other one is, again, the same complainant, but against Chief Clerk, State of Connecticut Judicial Branch, Milford Superior Court, and State of Connecticut Judicial Branch, Milford Superior Court. That's docket number 2023-0072. So both of those are essentially against the judicial branch, which, as you know, we have limited jurisdiction only over their administrative functions, which concern personnel, budget, facilities, and operations. And those are not what these cases are about. So that's the basis for denying leave there. And then the last one is Dan Golick versus AFSCME, Local Union 387, docket number FIC 2023-0081. So in that one, the complaint is against a union, and we do not have jurisdiction over unions. And for that reason, that's the last one on our list. So I'm asking you to not schedule these matters for hearing. So in all of them, I'm asking you to uphold my decision not to schedule the matters for hearing.
Do we need an individual motion on each one or on all of them together?
I think that maybe if you cited to each of the docket numbers and did it as one, I think that would be okay, since I've kind of delineated all of them.
We're
kind of
okay, Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Goldsby, I move that we adopt and not schedule a hearing pursuant to General Statutes 1-206B2 in the following matters: docket number FIC 2020-0201, docket number FIC 2020-0447, and docket number FIC 2023-0070, docket number FIC 2023-0072, and docket number FIC 2023-0081.
I just wonder if Commissioner Hankins would like to resume his normal role of seconding.
That's okay.
That's a courtesy I'm trying to extend to you.
Okay.
This is Commissioner Fusecci. I second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Fusecci.
Yes.
Commissioner Goldsby.
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins.
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes right. Unanimously. I'm glad you didn't second at that time.
Yeah.
I'm kidding you. I'm kidding you, Chris. He doesn't know.
Okay, so we're up to item 8, which is our pending appeals report. I know we have some appeals to report on.
Yes.
A new one.
Two of them.
Yeah.
So Captain Lonnie Blackwell appealed to a member in the case against Bridgeport, and the issue in the appeal is whether an individual's independent recollections about a person having been arrested are erased pursuant to Connecticut's erasure statute. That seems to be the only issue in the appeal. And then also the State Department of Education appealed, and the issues in that case are a little more complex. So is the criteria that constitutes the school choice protocol, number one, a trade secret? Is the criteria, does it constitute records of procedure and processes not otherwise available to the public, the disclosure of which would compromise this, the security or integrity of an IT system. Is the information exempt because the legislature approved the school choice program, which is basically a court order by way of, you know, really funding the money needed to carry that out? So there's a variety of issues, many of them that were raised before the hearing officer and before the commission. So that's the most latest appeal that we have. That's it.
Thank you.
No problem.
Let's see. I don't have any other reports under executive director or staff, legislative report, nothing at this moment, and no new business. So, let's see, you have something.
I entertain a motion to adjourn.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Goldsby, I move we adjourn.
I second that motion, Commissioner Fusashi.
Okay, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Fusashi?
Yes.
Commissioner Goldsby?
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Thank you, everyone, for adjourning.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chris. Chris, did you hear me before?
Yes.